At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
We're all clearing our throats today, because today is the day that we all talk like a radio announcer. Hello, welcome to Pew Talk, and we are here live. Yes, indeed, we are here live.
I don't think I can do that.
You can't talk like an announcer? Yes, I can't talk like an announcer either. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Pew Talk, episode 60.
Whoa.
Anybody else impressed by that? I am. I am very impressed.
No one threw us out 60. Yet.
Not well, we'll just wait for Facebook.
I think everyone else has thrown, you know, never mind. Yeah, maybe. We'll see if Facebook decided that music was copyrighted and owned by someone else.
It shouldn't be. It's completely the worship band of Trinity. It's actually Robert and me, I think Logan Waggy at the time.
Oh, I know, but that doesn't matter.
I know. It doesn't seem to matter anymore.
Nothing matters anymore.
Anyways, we are saddened that one of our cohorts kid is sick. And if you can look at the screen.
Who's missing? Half of my face.
I like that Stacey's in two.
Hello.
Well, here, I'll do this. That doesn't help.
Nope.
Well, that's right. I guess we'll just have to get
just
over
really
that.
Yeah. See my earring. Here we go.
It's all about the earrings. What's going on this week? How is God messing with you?
He is messing with me by messing with Facebook. I don't know. We decided that we're moving off of Facebook for church worship services.
Not podcasts.
That'll stay here unless they block us here too. But not 7 out of our last 9 worship services at Trinity have been blocked on the Facebook because of copyright infringements, which were not happening.
False accusations.
But they were even blocking hymns and...
Yeah, they were blocking like prelude music or hymn, like public domain hymns. So they just have an algorithm that they hear music and go, we probably own that. So let's see if we can get money off of them. So we're moving to church online or online church. I don't know. It's trinity.fremont.online.church. Trinityfremont.online.church.
Yeah, that's not confusing or anything.
Trinityfremont.online.church.
Maybe I can get it on an email and put it on the screen here.
If you go to the webs, I don't think I have it up on the website yet.
We'll get it up.
We'll get it up there.
You guys talk. I'll talk amongst yourselves.
It'll be there this weekend. Yep. I don't think, unless someone tells me that we should otherwise, we probably won't at all go to Facebook this weekend. We might try and at least get through the announcements so that we can tell people that during the announcements.
But no music beforehand.
To go to trinityfremont.online.church.
I am putting it in the comments for everyone to see. So
it is .online.church, right?
Yep. Okay. .online.church. And if you now, since you have it, you can come there and click the link.
Yep. And click the link. And I really like the format. You can chat. You can request prayer. You can fill out welcome card. You could fill out a comment card, I guess. I don't know. Give online. It's kind of all in one sort of thing.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it works.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you had water?
Yeah. It rained 5 inches.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
that's a lot of rain.
It rained 5 inches overnight. So it started with we had children in our bedroom.
Because the wind and the rain and the thunder.
And the lightning.
Yeah.
Don't forget the lightning.
Well, but that wasn't making the sound.
The lightning.
It's the sound.
It was definitely distracting.
Sound of silence.
Alex said, I saw lights and I thought it was the sunrise. Nope.
Nope.
The lightning.
It was not.
I've never seen the sunrise quite that bright and disappear. Quick.
So the girls came down and were like, we're not all sleeping in this bed together. It's not going to happen. So let's go check the basement, see if we have any water.
Our normal spot was fine. But apparently one of the window wells was filled up like halfway above the base of the window. It was
it's not a deep window well, but
yeah, but those things aren't made to be
no. So it was slowly trickling water.
They're
in.
Not windows for a submarine.
No.
Right? All right.
So I got to bail water out of that at 2 in the morning as it's pouring.
You said bail. I think that's funny.
Like, did we talk about Bale this week?
I don't know. But then the water came like halfway up our yard, our front yard. So we are almost late to school today.
You also had pictures or videos a couple weeks ago of all your kids.
It wasn't quite that bad this time.
Yep. Not quite.
Close. Getting there.
So,
and then it all came in the basement.
So we got to set up Stacy's, track to carry water from the little hole that it comes in all the way down.
Last time it came in, there was one hole in the foundation wall where all this water is just pouring in.
There's a hole in your foundation? Is it like a little kid with the dam puts his finger in there?
What we need.
Yeah.
Block it up. So the water just pours in there. So last time I'm like, kids, we can't just let this water pour into our basement. We need to figure out what to do. And Alex goes, I need a pipe like this. And she held up a little PVC pipe. And I went, Anthony has his green screen frame from all of his Zoom meetings last year. Let's disassemble it. And we put them all in this long, so it goes down across the basement. And then it has to angle to the drain where the
floor drain.
The floor drain. So we managed to get it from one side of the house to the other. And we rerouted the water so it just pours into the PVC pipe and it goes to
You say pour like it's gushing in.
Last time it was. You were not there.
It's because the water was up to our house.
And then cars drove past and like the wake of it comes up even further.
Yeah.
No. It was really bad when the motorbells boats came by.
Yeah, it was. So.
And the jet skis.
And the fan boats.
And the fan boats. Oh,
we needed one. So the kids were almost late to school today because it was still pretty wet, but
still flood. Yeah.
You braved it. Just drove through some
water. Wow. That's insane. Did you have any water casing?
Nope.
All right. Good call.
Yep.
Thanks.
There you go.
Good spot in town.
Yeah. There was what time did you wake up to look out at the water?
I woke up at about 1:30, but that was because the
like after that, what time did you because Casty said that it was up to their
house,
to their sidewalk.
Oh, so their side does get a little bit.
Oh, okay.
They don't live at the complex anymore.
Oh, never mind. Good night, y'all.
There's an auto.
Never mind.
I like how you call it a complex. Like it's
it is. It's the Trinity complex.
Yeah. But there is an auto dealership in front of our line of houses, and there's a ditch in between us and them, and that was pretty much full. Okay.
Wow.
So
wow.
As my wife would go, wow.
Well, I was thinking more of Owen Wilson. Wow. Wow, that's really special.
Wow. Wow.
Speaking of jet skis, let's go get a jet skis. Wow, that's really great. On the other hand, did not have any water.
Congratulations.
So,
we noticed your dry creek is still dry, so that's impressive.
Well, it's because there's now like 32 tons of rock.
Yeah.
32 tons.
That's a lot of
rock. If that overflows with water,
we're in trouble.
We are.
Okay. So, enough about rain and water.
Yeah.
So, we're missing Lacey today. We hope her chitlins are better.
Yep.
Feeling better. And that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Great talk.
Good talk. See you guys later.
All right, wait. Stacey hasn't read the Bible yet. Then we can go.
Yeah.
This is funny because doesn't it say something about waking up sleeper and you're really tired today?
Yeah. I'm just.
Open your eyes. All right.
Official? Oh, are you going to sing us the Bible today?
No, that gets us blocked. Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't block us.
I don't think that I'm going to
try
say anything well enough.
Okay, then go ahead and sing for us tonight, honey.
That would be great. Can we just do that?
Nope.
All right. We're doing NIV, right?
That's what I have.
Yep.
All right. Here we go.
We can all be on the same page today. All right. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Wow.
Darn NIV.
You know what's funny is even within that, there was...
On this?
Yeah, it was weird.
Because this is the newer... That's the new NIV. This is the old NIV.
Silliness. Okay. So when we were kind of texting, I noticed that everybody picked a different part of this and went, this is what I saw. So my question to you is, what's the one thing that stuck out to you? Should I go first?
There was kind of a couple things that stuck out to me, but it kind of connected both with the verse and the sermon topic, is that we are called into light as believers. Once the Holy Spirit leads us to faith and we're baptized, we've been pulled out of darkness into the light. But what I was struggling with, and you know, God has saved me from, you know, the worst fate possible, he asks us to follow his commands, and yet I keep going back to the sins that I do on habit. And I know why. The answer is sin, but mentally I know that these sins aren't gonna, satisfy me. They're not gonna fill the void that
empty words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone should quote that somewhere.
Someone should.
But it was kind of as looking at the different areas that sin tempts us with, that promises completion that can never actually complete our lives, and looking at how Christ actually does that, I was constantly wondering, why do I keep going back to the ones that don't complete me, but yet Christ has, but yet I keep going back? Like, that's where I got stuck at.
So when I this is my sermon this week was actually version 2. Friday, I pretty much rewrote about half of it. And I switched my object lesson, my picture from to whiplash, we talked about, but which, because we started in verse 3, we don't really see, which is fine. But my first sermon, I felt like, was too harsh. It was very law based, but it was about flickering lights. So fun story. And y'all have to promise, all of you on podcast land have to promise not to use this against me.
I do sometimes.
So,
we're definitely going to record this. Oh, we are.
So one of my irrational fears, I have an irrational fear of flickering lights. Because when I grew up as a kid watching movies, I would see flickering, like before bad things happened, it was always like the lights flickered and then went out. And so then bad guys would come in to the house. Or the tornado would happen, or the storm would destroy, or whatever. And so irrationally in my head, flickering lights mean like that, like if a robber were coming in, they had to flick the lights off and on to let you know, to scare you more. So flickering lights for me was
sometimes
this.
Sometimes the kids will do it. He'll go, no, stop.
It just takes me back. I hate it. But like, I feel like that's who we are. Mm-hmm. is flickering lights, that we are in the light, but then we keep going back to the darkness, but then Jesus pulls us out of that and brings us into the light, and then we keep going back and forth. But I don't know if that's actually a good metaphor. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like we sin and now we're darkness. Mm-hmm. We keep wanting to go back into the darkness, but Jesus has brought us into the light. So I was concerned that to go with the flickering light metaphor might take someone in the thought process of like, oh, does that mean every time I sin that I am no longer saved and I need to do something?
See, I took that I guess the light is a metaphor in itself, but the way that I looked at that was there are a lot of things that I might be ignorant to, hence being in the dark about. And then once I kind of get the idea or the truth of it, so I could have been sinning, going, oh, I can eat ice cream every day and it's fine. And then I find out
that is in to eat ice cream every day.
Well, I don't know. I'm using a metaphor. We're using a metaphor.
Metaphor for metaphor. Let's go.
This is really going to hurt if eating ice cream is a sin.
Let's just say that eating ice cream every day, and then Robert comes up and goes, hey, you should stop doing that because that's bad for you. Suddenly, I am now, that truth is now been brought to light. Mm-hmm. And at that moment in time, I can either choose to ignore it or heed its wisdom and go, oh, I need to change that. Because there's many things that I'm assuming that we are walking in darkness with, and then as the truth of God's wisdom comes to us in different mediums, either through church or through family members or friends or whatever. Could just be because you read the Bible and went, oh, it says that.
Oh, it says I shouldn't do that? Whoops.
Or even to the fact that you could have the ignorance of, well, as long as I don't do these things, that's fine. And then you find out that because you ignored it, you're hurting all kinds of it because of the consequences of your inaction. That's also brought to light. Then I feel like at that point it's brought to light. You either turn to, you basically at that point you go, well, I can either be wise to this and change who I am, or I can completely just go, yep, I'm not going to look at that.
Right.
And that's the way I look at bringing things to light and looking at wisdom and growing as an individual on your way with a relationship with God, because I find that there's all kinds of stuff throughout my life that has slowly but surely been like, hey, by the way, see that? There's something there.
Don't do that.
Does that make sense? And so I'm not saying that I don't feel like we can go in and out. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's there. And once that light is on, then you're actively choosing not to look at it.
Yeah. And that's probably closer to what I was alluding to, because once you know, like a joke I always have with my youth is what I like to call the challenge accepted joke. Like the second you tell youth or students of any age or most adults not to do something, that means they automatically at least want to do it a little bit just to see what happens. Like it wasn't even on their mind for a second, and now you said it, so it's on your mind. And for me, that's kind of what I feel like when dealing with temptation. Like I know I shouldn't do this, but that kind of makes it more alluring because I want to see what this is.
But I also think that even if you hear the truth, I notice this a lot within Christian conversation. There are certain parts of that light or that truth that you're listening to and looking at and going, yes, I believe that, but I'm not going to pay attention to this part because that's something that I don't want to deal with.
It's like editing.
It's like editing. Yeah. Control, delete. Okay.
Yeah, no, there well, Jesus probably didn't really mean that.
Yeah, well, he didn't mean it to me because I am not like these people.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other conversation.
That we'll talk about next week.
Oh, really? We're already
moving there. Verse 22.
Special preview.
Well, because there is a, oh, what are you two doing? Please stop.
We get that on two screens.
Ooh.
Yes. Anyways, so I guess, so light. Mm-hmm. What you and Lacey were babbling on about something.
Yes.
So please speak. Right. Please babble for Lacey and yourself. So.
I don't remember what Lacey said. And as you two are talking, I think at least my reading of it and hearing of it this time, the darkness and light is a very different feel to it, because there is that God sheds light on your sin, but also sheds. So, I mean, was it 2 weeks ago that I melted down and cried and did all that on here? Too bad. So
for all to see.
For all forever. To see. And I was just like, that was a very dark, I just felt like I was in darkness. And I don't know if that was, I think part of it was like mental health, depression coming in. So it was a different kind of darkness and feel. But that was healing, crying and saying, I'm having issues here. But then also the day out, I don't remember time-wise, but one afternoon I dropped Bennett off at school, so all the kids were at school. And I went home and I said, I haven't really read the Bible that much lately. I just need to sit down. I do my devotion in the morning. But other than that, I don't just really sit with God. So I sat and I wrote out, which is something I used to do fairly regularly, just write out different verses. And I wrote them on note cards, and then I thought, I'm going to hang these in the house so that I see them. They're on bright colored note cards. I'm going to hang them all up and I'm going to read them and just be reminded that this darkness that I'm feeling, this heaviness that I'm feeling, is not my reality. And then I just felt like God was saying, share this with people. Like, this is a good activity. And I was feeling in a much better place just from that. But then I posted that on Facebook too, and had lots of friends respond and message me and saying, you know, a lot of them in a very similar place of just life feels heavy. Some weren't in that place, but just very supportive and encouraging and saying, you know, we're praying for you and you're not alone in this. And so that being built up by the body of Christ was important there too. And the next day I was driving in the car, just like, I feel light. And at first I thought, it can't just be this like flip a switch and I'm better. I'm still healing and I'm moving forward in this. But like, why can't it be? Like, you turn on the light switch and it's instantly light, right? And that's what this talks about, is like, once the light has come in, it's now light. It's not darkness anymore. And once Christ is in our lives. He's in our lives forever. So I don't know. And that was kind of what you were saying. Like, it's not that I had turned away from him and I was heading down to the pit of hell in this darkness, but I was definitely in a mental state where I felt in the darkness and I was not remembering the light that's there. I wasn't turning that light on. So I don't really know how to describe that, but there is definitely when you acknowledge Christ and you start walking with him again, you can see that light, I think, better and illuminate it. So that's in the last 2 weeks, I felt that. I don't feel that dark and that heaviness anymore. I can see where I need some healing and some better boundaries and practices in my life to prevent me from getting to that place where I was before, but it doesn't feel that same heaviness. So.
And that's very, very similar to the My Lighthouse song that we sang. Mm-hmm. You know, just the imagery of we're in the storm, we're in the fog, we're in the whatever metaphor you want to use. And the light from that is coming in and showing you the direction you should be going in. Mm-hmm. Watch out for the rock.
I like that song.
That's good. At least somebody does.
Our kids love it.
So, I mean, the whole first part of this is kind of, these are things that people are doing. Stop doing that.
Yeah, but it's more than that.
What? Like, there's always more than that.
Just stop it.
Stop.
Favorite thing, just stop.
Just knock it off. I mean, Paul, I think there are times where like Paul is, and I'm in a...
St. Paul.
Yeah, St. Paul. Like Paul is like, oh, I love you like children. I like my own children. But knock it off. You guys are being dingbats. Stop it. And that's often how Paul's writings are, is like, I love you. Jesus loves you. But y'all really figure it out. Stop doing the stupid things that you're doing. But this one specifically, like we get all this immorality and impurity. And it very much, you know, kind of on a surface read is very much a like, oh, these sins are really bad. I shouldn't do these sins, which is true. Mm-hmm. Those sins are bad. Don't do those sins.
All sins are bad. Don't do bad things.
Yeah. Don't do the sins. Any of them, knock it off. But
be perfect forever.
Yeah. Well, Jesus does say, therefore you must be perfect as I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing to note here is with Ephesus, this is a city that was filled with, you know, idolaters. There was the temple of Artemis, who's a fertility goddess. And so there were, it's very likely, this big temple in the middle of the city that there were lots of rituals going on to try and help with their fertility of the individuals, like to appeal to the goddess of Artemis. And so these are the sins that Paul is pointing out here. And so it's not so much don't do these sins, it's that, but it's this is what will take you back to idolatry. This is what will take you back to your old way of life before you knew Jesus. And so for a lot of us, we might not have that old way of life. Many of us may have grown up in church, may have grown up knowing Jesus, and not saying that they don't have their own gods. But for some, this really is speaking to the, hey, you used to live a different way of life, and then you knew Jesus who brought you into the light. Don't go back and hang out with that same crowd. Don't go back and be with the same, you know, in the same places that will take you back into a life that you used to live, because I've made you different. But also at the same time, God's saying, like, stop living in a way that it shows your idolatry. I don't know how to say that much.
Well,
that's not the right way to say that, but
what I'm hearing is almost like he's calling them not just to believe, but to be intentional about living out your faith. Like with idolatry, with any of the, you know, whatever you choose to make your idol, whatever sometimes takes your God's number one spot in people's lives, insert that here. You know, it can feel at times that you're going with the whims of, oh, I guess, you know, this is what we do if politics is what I really care about and that's what's most important to me, that's the direction I'm going to go. If following my sports team is that, I'll follow that whim. But God is saying, you know, be intentional about how you live out. This isn't just some like, oh, you know, this isn't like, you know, what people signing up for the gym as their New Year's resolution. That's a good whim. I should be healthy. By, you know, January 20th, people have already stopped going to the gym. Like
eating ice cream every day.
Yeah.
ice cream.
But God is saying, this isn't just some whim or fancy. I've called you to a different life.
Yeah. one of the sentences that really comes out when you're saying that is, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil.
That's why I don't like the NIV.
Because days are evil?
No, the Greek word is peripateo, which means walk, not live. So be careful how you walk. But it really means live. It means live, not like next watch out for landmines and dog poop.
Next week I will read from the Greek. Will that make
you Yes, happy? Please. Can't wait.
Yes, let's do that. But I mean, the overarching sentiment, whether or not it's Greek or not, is the fact that the way that you're talking about living with intention, that because Christ has changed who you are, then you are, that every moment is important.
Yeah.
Because days are evil. What do you think that means? Days are evil.
Have you looked around outside? No, yeah, it's not that like the day when it's light out is evil and the night is good. That's not what it's. It is like until Jesus returns, we're living in a broken, sinful world, and it's a mess out there. It's jungle out there.
It's a jungle.
Yeah, it's a jungle out there. Oh, that may have blocked. That movie may have just gotten blocked there. Cancel.
Is it worth it for a monk reference?
It is actually. Now if we can just get a Lavender Gooms.
Sorry. About Pluto?
That's messed up, yo.
I haven't watched that show in forever. I'm sorry.
It's great. Like, and who was I talking to? Somebody said that I was talking to today. They're like, they were looking. Oh, it was one of the ladies coming in for the ladies' Bible class. And I love that ladies. Oh, they're a bunch of old retired ladies that we have to shut multiple doors so that we can block out the noise because they are just having so much fun, just laughing and talking loud because they can't hear each other. But I was talking to one of them about stuff, and she's like, in her mind, she's like, that means Jesus is coming back. All this stuff is all crazy and it just keeps getting worse. So Jesus must be coming soon. And I was like, he could be. I hope he is. But I mean, it's all the days are evil.
Or jungle.
It's jungle out there.
They're all evil.
Yeah.
So in your walk of being wise versus unwise, what do you partake in that statement?
Well,
I mean, besides the obvious, don't be dumb.
Don't be dumb. don't kick a door while you're walking.
That's not evil. That's just unfortunate.
Oh, okay. That's a serious.
It was
a serious
my bone won't break when I do that.
Yes. I'm Lord Jesus. So Solomon.
When I do that, like, are you planning on it?
I mean, it happens frequently enough that I should have broken a long time ago. But
no more pain.
It just won't hurt. No break.
Thanks, Dace.
You're welcome.
Okay, Solomon.
This is the concept of heaven.
So talking wisdom, really when Solomon talks about wisdom, because we're jumping different books here, different time periods, but in the Proverbs, Solomon talks about wisdom. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And also really talks about how being open to instruction. If you look at Proverbs 1, this openness to really hearing God's word and letting it affect what you believe, what you think, what you do. And so wisdom is someone who follows the will of the Lord because they fear the Lord. Now we talked, you know, the fear of the Lord isn't like I'm afraid that I'm going to walk around the corner and he's going to zap me with lightning. There are some people, especially it's really interesting when we see people come in to church for the first time in a long time and they're like, oh, God's going to get me in here. No, he's not. Just come hang out. He likes you.
he's going to get me in
here. Yeah. And by the way, if you're coming with someone who you think God's going to get, God has good aim, so you don't have to worry about it being collateral damage. Sorry. But fear of the Lord doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that you got to be afraid that God's going to zap you with lightning because you did something bad. Fear of the Lord is this awe and reverence. And so some of it is recognizing that God could, if he wanted to, zap you with lightning because you'd be in a dingbat. But also realizing that he doesn't do that. And so there's this sense of awe, reverence, thankfulness, praise, but then this openness to instruction. Openness to God's will being the best. And that's, we struggle with that.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, so do you feel that in today's day and age, even though we supposedly have more knowledge, that the wisdom is missing?
Yes.
The end. Okay, see you later.
Yeah.
I feel like the smarter we feel as a society, we feel like we can trust ourselves as people and that we don't need God to fall back on. And in the process, we become progressively more stupid.
Well, we become unwise.
Unwise. Yes. Yes.
Yes. I know. When Stacey and I were talking, we heard this sermon snippet and we couldn't really follow it that well, but it was kind of along these lines.
Yeah. Basically that we as Christians tend to fill up more with knowledge and we don't flex our muscles and of faith very often. And so we've become obese with knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever, okay, was it Reagan who said that, you know, there's deep thinkers and there's clear thinkers. We need more clear thinkers than we need deep thinkers.
I don't think I've heard that, but
I think it was Reagan.
I don't know, but it sounds like a great quote. It's in line with something he would say.
Yeah, but I'm
Paul Piquet. Ronald Reagan.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just like in this day and age, I do find a lot of people are trying to be these deep intellectual thinkers and be like, let me look at the psychology and it's just like, okay, you know.
Either it is or it isn't. Just call it.
Well, I think the wisdom of the difference between knowledge and wisdom is really being able to just...
Information versus does that information actually affect...
Well, whatever it is. Yeah but...
More application.
You know, one of the most valuable things you get whenever you buy a major appliance is the manual, whether you choose to look at it or not, but that manual does no good if your product breaks down and you don't look at it to try and fix it. I mean, at some point, knowledge only takes you so far without application, without intentionally using it.
Are you trying to use that as a metaphor for the Bible?
Always. I may or may not be using that for a similar wisdom message for chapel tomorrow, so it's kind of on my mind.
We're going to read this instructions. Make sure you open. I'm a guy. I never read the instructions.
That's why, speaking as another guy, I said that ideally this is what they do.
I love instructions because I don't have to think. It just tells me exactly what to do and I do it.
Unless you look at IKEA instructions and then it doesn't tell you anything. Pictures. It just gives you pictures.
Yeah. Those are metaphors.
What, IKEA?
Yeah, those are their picture. They're metaphors.
Mental pictures, yeah.
Yep.
No, I just, I feel like there is, you use the definition of wisdom of being fearful of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think your point of the fact that we think that we know everything, so therefore we don't have to fall back on him is actually, I think that is wisdom. The fact that we can acknowledge the fact that, hey, I don't know everything, and I hope I don't really know what to do. So I'm going to break down in front of everybody and no, I'm just kidding.
Ugly cry.
And kick my door in anger.
Yeah.
But
it was an accident.
Now we're gonna have fun.
Just crying. Really set me over the edge.
But there is something to that, to be able to look at that and step back. And I think that is where wisdom comes in, is to be able to go, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
It's the most wise people that I know usually can look at me and go, yep, I have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means and I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah. So there's definitely humility in wisdom. And that's where, like, and again, when you ask if there's a lack of wisdom, I think that is also a big key, is kind of like you said, I know it all. And I don't need God to tell me what to do, how to live, because my way is better. And I, like I said, we will see that next week. Spoiler alert, read the next verse and you'll go, oh, I can't say that. It. Yeah. What's the next verse?
Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord.
We can't say that
sometimes
in church.
Sometimes that's really hard.
We can't say that in church. That's evil. No, radical feminism's evil. But,
Aaron, we'll get to your question at the end of when we get towards the closing.
Yeah. Okay.
Good question.
Yeah. But that's like, that is a taboo. Like the number of weddings that I've done that they're like, can we have Ephesians 5, but can we start with verse 25? I'm like, oh, we'll start with telling the husbands what to do and skip the part where it talks to wives.
But it says husbands, love your wives.
Yeah. So love is a good word. Submit is not. Except what did we read?
Hey, let's. Spoilers.
Hey, we're getting too early. We're getting into it too early.
It's a preview. It's okay.
Did Jesus...
verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
That's what
we accept that more?
And that's actually where I like to start, is with verse 21 and not with just verse 22. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll have a lot of fun. Stacey and I will have some great fun conversations next week with y'all.
Maybe. Well, it just sounds we need all yes, bring dear. Our wives and husbands.
I was just thinking that.
That sounds great opportunity.
Yeah, I don't have enough mics.
Jeff, Lori, and Tara.
By the way, Trinity Fremont .donate to get more mics so we can hear this conversation.
With our spouses.
So
this might be one that we don't record, but we can have.
Oh, no, we'll definitely record it.
Oh, yeah.
I think more people will find that entertaining than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so wisdom.
Yep.
And so do you find that... I just think this is stupid. I just read an article about, is it Harvard or one of those Ivy League schools that just hired a new chaplain who is an atheist. And so,
okay,
yeah,
I hadn't read that.
Why does this person want to be a chaplain there?
Well, that's the question now, isn't it? Now, if you read the article, it basically is like, not everybody believes in Christ, so therefore I look at all, he's not
like
hired
a spiritual guide.
He's a spiritual guide.
Here's this spiritual practice and here's this belief.
Yeah.
But as an atheist, didn't you feel like you're misguiding people if that is your belief system?
I don't know. Why don't you ask him?
There's so many thoughts that are running through my mind at the moment
like
at this.
The knowledge that you have so much knowledge for, I know what everybody else believes and they're all okay
and why they're wrong.
I have the article. I can pass it on to you so you can read it. It's pretty funny. Huh. I didn't read it all because, you know.
And the sad thing is, did you get that on not the Bee? I mean, because that sounds like a Babylon Bee article, but it's... It's not.
It's real. It's life. Not the Bee.
Oh, okay.
My mind is short circuiting at this idea. I'll get back to you guys.
Hold on a second. I can pull it up right
you
here.
You just sit in your corner and twitch a little bit, and you come back to us.
Okay, I'm good now.
It's right here. Theweek.com.
Oh, okay.
Harvard new chaplain is an atheist. Is that a contradiction?
Yes. Yes.
So I will forward that on to you, and so you can take a look at that. Okay. That's fun.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Speaking of wisdom.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Are we done? I mean, is this it?
Be wise, not unwise.
Well, and that's like really, that's the key is read God's word. And like I love to say, just do it.
Put it into practice.
Just put it into practice. Read it, reflect on it, and put it into practice.
Well, and that is actually the key, because when you read God's word, things will be put into light.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why when you can't be running away from darkness because you're sitting there going, oh, poop.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be doing this because this is actually a contradiction to what God's telling me to do.
Yeah. But then the next step in that is, do I care enough? Or do I like the way that I do things?
Because I know better.
Or even, I don't know better. That's probably the better way. But I still don't care. I'd rather do it my own way because that's easier. Or it's more fun. Feels better. Or whatever.
Feels better until it doesn't.
You're right. God. Until you run right into a wall and go, oh, that hurt.
And God's word is easy to apply until it's the very part that I'm having problems with application. Like, and
oh, yeah.
It's amazing how many times we try to like square with that. Well, yeah, as a broad idea, that makes sense. But I'm pretty sure Jesus wasn't thinking of this exact moment, this exact time, and these exact circumstances. So given these three different exceptions, I think Jesus would be okay with it if I did my thing. It's like, no, he thought exactly of this situation too.
Well, let me ask you. So how do you get your deep thinking out of the way to get to the clear thinking you need to in order to really see the wisdom that's coming through?
Well, one thing for me helps that I'm not smart enough to be too much of a deep thinker. I'm pretty like, what does it say? Oh, okay, that's what it says. I mean, like, as we're working through this Ephesians series, I got a commentary for this series. It is 800 pages long. I mean, it is basically 100 pages per section. And it's tiny writing and lots of footnotes and things like that. So it's like, as we're going through this, there could be so much other, like I could go down so many different rabbit trails, so many different, but there are times where I'll do that and I'll get going and then I'll delete like three pages from my sermon and be like, that wasn't helpful. That's great for if we've got an hour, you know, Bible class, that's great for background information. It's helpful for me. But it takes us away from the main point. And so that's why I always try and really find, okay, what's the main point? What is this really saying? And how can I convey that main point so that you'll remember it to me? And that's why, like, for me, I said this multiple times, Jesus has brought you out of darkness and into the light. Don't go back into the darkness. Keep walking in the light.
Yeah, you do that as a pastor.
Yes.
Now, as me, as not a pastor, when I'm looking at, because it's similar, because sometimes we have conversations, especially with, you'll have many different views, but many different things. Like, we should be doing this. You know, it could be in your business. It could be at home. And as well, right now, I mean, I'm the spiritual leader of our home, but I'm also spiritual leader. I guess that's true too. In our office. And so I have to take all that minutia and noise and go, what is actually happening here? Is it just because, I mean, because everybody's just spouting off what they, and you really have to look at the big thing and go, what, I kind of feel like the same thing with God, go and turn around and go, what is God really trying to point out here?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could look at this one line here that says, hey, don't foolish talk and coarse joking. And I'm, you know, I was like, that's what I do all the time. I'm always joking and being coarse.
Knock it off, Paul.
But I got to take a step back from that and go, is he really saying not to have a sense of humor, or is he actually saying something else?
Right.
Because I believe.
I wanted to say what I wanted to say, and that'll make me feel better.
Well, I mean,
I'm not supposed to be coarse, but Jesus never found anything this funny.
Well, and that's the thing, is that I would have a hard time to believing that. It's just like, oh, well, no, you have to be complete serious all the time.
No, that's, again, in the context of this, it's saying, like, don't go back to those.
This is talking obscenity. Like,
yeah.
Which is, yes, well, all the time. I guess, see that? So am I...
Clean up your mouth, Paul. That's what it's saying.
Or use the mute button more.
There is some of that to that, but again, we got to remember who he's talking to. That takes them back towards that life of idolatry that they were in before they knew Jesus. And so that's really what this main... It is saying, yeah, you probably shouldn't tell a bunch of jokes about...
Crudeness.
Yeah, probably you shouldn't. But really in this...
Athena's... what did you say? You
said, Artemis?
Artemis, is that what you said? Artemis is like rituals.
Yeah.
See, that's crude jokes. I'm making crude jokes.
I didn't go too in depth in that with all the children sitting in church.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But like,
you didn't want to initiate that family conversation.
I mean, I'm not telling you to look up the statue of Artemis, but if you do, don't have your children around. Just FYI.
Be prepared to answer questions.
Yep. So like, but that was the life that surrounded her. Was this life of
sensuality.
So there you go. Thanks for helping us work around that.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So in talking of this, it makes me think of one of the songs that you had selected for our praise concert in July, and we adapted some of the lyrics.
Which one?
Oh, I'm forgetting.
I adapted lyrics?
Yeah.
I changed them all on you.
I'm not there yet, or it's like...
It was one where it was, I'm missing read the Bible. Something. I read the Bible daily.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the song was called Character Zero from Fish, mm-hmm. and I changed it to so I read the Bible daily, and the verse of it was, you know, I was told yesterday, or I can't remember the words mm-hmm. now, but
the gist of the first verse is essentially that the life that the writer had lived, he has just learned, is everything he thought he knew is garbage.
That I've always learned has always been wrong, mm-hmm. and then basically it's talking about the contradiction of, hey, don't do this, oh, you should do that, oh, you know, those kind of things, mm-hmm. and go, I don't know what's right wrong, because it's like you know, well, the first thing is, you know, I was told yesterday to never rush or waste the day, and then I was thinking, you slow down, and
oh yeah,
you know, those kind of contradictions. It's like, which one is it? Do I rush and don't waste the day, or do I stop and smell the roses? Which one is it?
You know, I smell roses if you run in with your hand.
Well, I'm just saying, there is a lot of those kind of things you listen to and go, mm-hmm. okay, well, great,
that one, right. yeah
and so I changed the lyrics because it's like, well, the clear answer is in the book, or the user manual of life. Gerber just closed his eyes and went, what?
I was nodding in appreciation. Well done. Yep. Way to bring things around.
So anyways, I would agree with that. It's just having a clear cut answer. But the point that I was making with the user manual is that I've read it. I don't have it memorized. And mm-hmm. and as you know, you can read something, and the next time you read the exact same thing, you get something completely yep. different out of it. And you go, oh, I never look at, I mean, we had that whole series that Dan was doing, and every time he brought it up, he was like, oh yeah, but did you really look at this one line? And you're like, oh, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, great.
And that is exactly what the people that Paul was writing to in Ephesus are dealing with. Like, everything they thought they knew was wrong. Like, the fact that Artemis was one of their goddesses, they were told their whole life, this inappropriate behavior, that's how you please God. Like, this is how you make God happy. And all of a sudden they're being told, no, this makes God very unhappy with you. Yeah. Like, their world has been turned on its end. And sometimes that's what it's like. You know, we have our sometimes preconceived notions with what life should be, and then you hit a Bible verse that pokes at that very part that you don't, that you think is part of who you are, and it turns your world on its end. But that's what Christ is about. He turns the whole world on its end. That's what forgiveness does, too.
I mean, because even like concepts of being humble, you I correct me if I'm wrong, there's somewhere that he basically talks about the two different types of humbleness. You can be the meek, step on me kind of humble, which is not really what you want, but you have the other one being fearful of the Lord, but at the same time, you can go, because I am confident in the Lord that I can be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're not like, being humble doesn't just mean like, oh yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, it's not this, yeah, but it's just realizing that I don't have all the answers, but God does.
Correct.
As opposed to like,
but then also being able to pick up, and it's kind of like pride. You don't want to be prideful, but also looking up, it's like, but I am a child of God, so therefore I am proud of that and confident in that.
Yeah.
So you can look at those things and go, with those contradictions, you said, hey, don't be proud, but then you're being prideful.
It boast. When you boast in the Lord. Yeah. Well, but you're not supposed to boast.
Yeah.
Be humble, in the Lord.
Be humble, but don't be a doormat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and so it's like, okay, well, which one is it? And so that's where the manual of life, if you really look at it, because some people might just read over that and go, oh, okay, don't be humble. I mean, be humble, but don't be proud, and then go, oh, and then you read it again a couple years later and go, oh, I'm not supposed to be a dormant. Oh, wow.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes when you read something, it can really come to you as a, like, maybe as you read this, boy, that was a word of law. And it really showed me some things that I need to focus on, because I'm not living the life that God has called me to live. And then at a different time, you can read it and go, oh, boy, I needed to be read. I needed to read that Jesus has brought me into the light. I've been beating myself up. I needed to be reminded that it's Jesus who brings me into the light.
And that's the reason why the Bible is such a living...
It is living and active. It is God's living word.
And every time you look at it, I mean, I find every time I read a different thing, I could read the same thing over and over again, which is why it's probably important you read it more than once. But it's also important why you do Bible studies and you do church mm-hmm. groups and you have these conversations and you do your devotionals, because I've read many different devotionals that have a different take on it.
Yep.
Not that it's contradicting itself, but
it's looking at it from a different perspective.
Correct.
Well, and that's why this group, I hope our podcast is helpful to listeners, but this podcast alone is incredibly helpful for me, because us five each have different angles, some closer than others, but each of us approach it with like this, our pre-podcast text chain was proof of that. All of us were keying on different verses, because each of us has different approaches to life, different things that have happened to them, different things that have happened to them that very day. And I think that's why God calls us to community as well, because each of us can support each other by what we experience and what we look at in life.
We got confirmation on that. Yeah.
Yay. Yay.
Thanks, Aaron.
So did Aaron have a question though earlier that we were going to get back to?
It's a question outside the conversation, but we can go to it after we do the prayer and everything.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure we stayed on task before we go on a completely different.
Did you have, at one point you were going to say something?
Gone.
Okay.
Well,
it's gone.
I think
it wasn't
as
truth.
We're talking, and you kind of touched on it, but I think that's the key point here is to continue to walk with Jesus, to not, I mean, he's saying, don't turn back to these things, but walk with the Lord. Keep moving forward. Keep reading my word. Even if you don't do everything perfectly in it, and you don't understand what it all means, and you can't keep it all right now because you're not at a point where you can make that big change. That doesn't mean that Christ has failed you or that you have failed him. Mm-hmm. It's that we're walking with the Lord in this, and we're constantly learning and growing and changing, becoming more like him.
That's why I like that lighthouse analogy, because it's, even if the current is moving you away from the light of the lighthouse, you can still see the lighthouse and go, I need to be over there.
That's where safety is.
Yeah. And so, and that's another thing about showing when those things are exposed and suddenly the light is shown and the darkness is gone, even if you, again, walk away, we're using current or whatever metaphor it is, because there are times that it could be anything that kind of steers you away from that. You should be able to find that lighthouse even in the dark and go, that's what I need to be.
And it's that line, you will carry me safe to shore. It's not even, sometimes it's not even my own efforts. Like, okay, I'm coming back, but it's God grabbing me and carrying me there.
All right.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. Right. Well, I guess anything else?
We're good. Join us next week. It'll be fun.
Be so, wise, not unwise.
So, next week it's the husband and wife conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
This should be fun.
I'll try and be a good wife this week.
And I'll try to be a good husband.
Love. Respect.
Gonna think you're like,
no, that's, those are the words, like, I will love you.
I feel like my English teacher wife would say, it's not what you're saying, it's how you are saying it.
Oh, am I being creepy? Okay.
Stop being creepy.
So sorry.
on that note,
let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for calling us into your light. Thank you for showing us the truth when we were stuck in the lies that our heart and that the devil leads us to. Lord, remind us when we're tempted to go back to being unwise, to relying on our own efforts, that you have called us to something better. Help us to truly be wise in what you would consider wise, and give us the strength when we do inevitably fail to be wise to ask for forgiveness and humble ourselves. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
All right. So Aaron has asked, will they ever put Wednesday Chapel back online? I love to watch it while I'm on break at work and talk about it at home with my daughter.
That's a question that we're still thinking through. And the big reason that we stopped, that we didn't do it or hadn't done it this year, is because of copyright stuff. A lot of the teachers, and it's just, it's easy to use YouTube videos for music and things like that. And then we would get dinged and get in trouble with Facebook. And so we were very purposefully not using YouTube stuff last year, but it was hard. So the big question is how we can do that. And so we're having those discussions. We know that we'll, those times where kids are leading the chapel, we'll definitely at least, at the very least, record those. But that's kind of where we're still in the midst of having those conversations on what's best practices for that.
Okay, got it.
Being wise.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, and is that new online.church an option for that, or is that just...
I don't know. I mean, that's like literally we started looking at that within the last week or 2 weeks.
Literally?
Literally.
My kids say that too much. I think I know. I said it too much. Literally? Literally.
I feel like that quote from The Princess Bride, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think
so
it means.
Inconceivable. Okay, it was not... We actually created an account a while ago, but that was just so I could check it out because other friends were using it, but we hadn't had any problems with Facebook, so I didn't put any effort into it. So it was last week that we started thinking maybe we're going to have to move in a different direction, and then when all three of our services got blocked this week, we
decided,
quickly made the decision to say, yep.
That's inconceivable.
It is inconceivable.
I also want to applaud the complete effort that you have shown of not saying you have an opportunity. I haven't heard in the last 2 weeks.
Did you see the email that I sent to everybody? New worship, online worship opportunity. I did that for y'all.
My favorite one was not this past service, but a week ago during the late service when you caught yourself mid-sentence during the announcement.
I know. You have an opportunity. And like three people laughed. Everybody else was like, wait, what is he doing?
Was like, he was going to say opportunity. But I know. He said something.
Different. Like the chance, the, so I don't know, like...
It was communion, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, it was so hilarious. I couldn't.
So like, proud of you.
Thanks, guys.
Just trying hard.
Expanding your vocabulary.
So chance. The other funny one was in Pastor and I co-teach a religion class for the school, and I teach it by myself on Thursdays, and I use that phrase, and all the students popped up like, "Oh, you said opportunity." I said, first off, not me. Second of off,
well, no. So in chapel, so this is what happened in chapel. You said something about we have the opportunity to, and I looked over at your wife when we went, and she's like, what? So I had to go over there and tell her, I said, he said opportunity. And all the eighth grade girls heard me say that. And so that was then the next day would have been the Thursday that you taught by yourself. Yep.
It's like a buzzword.
Now it is a buzzword.
It triggers me.
It's taboo. The word has been tabooed.
I need to process this now. Can we spend another hour talking about my feelings?
We do have that opportunity to do that. Okay.
All right.
And y'all have the opportunity to
like, share, and comment, and follow, and do all those things. If you like our content and you want to share it with a friend or family member, please do.
And follow the link in the comments to watch our services online.
We put the link in the comments for the church service on Sunday. Yep. And we do have a real podcast that
it's without the video.
Yeah. It's better because this,
we take out the brakes and you can speed us up.
We sound even more wise.
Yeah,
wise is the word.
We're buzzed.
I will if you join online, whether you've been doing that for a long time or have never done that before, find a way to not just watch but engage. That's a hard.
You're talking worship.
Worship. Yep. Or here.
Well, here.
Or here too. We'd love for you to just engage.
Actually, some of our greatest conversations have spurred from comments from viewers like you.
But it's
or listeners
engage with those things, whether it's here, whether it's another congregation, the podcast, our church service. But it's very easy to just be passive, be filled with knowledge and information, like we were talking about, but no, engage, and find ways to
engage. Yep. Sorry, Star Trek reference. Okay.
All right. So disengage us from this podcast.
Yeah. Ready? You know what? We have the opportunity to say
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.